Everybody good? Been thinking about the Lord? Who's my Tony? Doing my projector today? All right, let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What I want to get to is down in verse 6. If it's okay if I just read a little bit, is that all right? A few verses here. We'll start in verse 1 and see where this goes. But I want to get to verse 6. This is Paul. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, so he's talking about his body, right? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ, but he's in the earth, Keith, in a body, and he's referencing that body right now. And he's calling it an earthly house. It's a tabernacle. If it were to be dissolved, we have a building of God. That, man, if you just stop right there and think about that for a second, that is awesome. Even if this body of my earthly were to be dissolved, Megan, I have a body of God. I have a building of the Lord. That's quite a testimony. He says, if it were to be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. That should be very recognizable to you, Megan, right? Not made with hands, but what? He called the one body earthly, but he said this one is what? Eternal in the heavens. That's awesome. Keep going. In this we groan. That's interesting. You ever grown to just be in those heavenly places, Keith? That's amazing. Desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. You notice he keeps saying we. Why is he saying we? Just think about that. We that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. And this is what I wanted to get to. Because we walk, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Was there anything after that, Tony? Yeah. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See if there's any more. Because we're not in a hurry, right? Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And we can stop there. I don't know what else is down a little further, but that's okay. You can go back up to verse 6 or just remove it all together. I think I spelled sight right, didn't I? Okay. Now, why do you think he said in verse 6, we walk by faith and not by sight? And did he define that in the first 5 verses before he said this statement? Did he define that? And if he did, how? How did he define that? Anybody? Okay. So what was he dealing with? He was dealing with bodies, right? Or a body. Is there a body of faith? And was he dealing with a body that walks by sight? He was, wasn't he? So he called this one Eternal of the Heavens. And this one he called an earthly body. Now, let me read one more thing to you guys. I believe that is over, and then I'll try not to read anything else. In 2 Corinthians 4, and you don't have to turn there, but in verse 16, Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So again, he's making distinction between two bodies here, right? He's calling one an outward man. So can we put that up here? This is the outward man. And that would make this one the inward man. He says the outward man perishes, but the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. So here we are again, dealing with the eternal, an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. There you go. We do not walk by sight. Therefore, we do not look to the things which are seen, but what do we do? These things, he said, are temporal. I want to put that up there. Well, I should have wore a mic today if I was going to do all this writing, huh? So what did he say about this man, this body? What is it? It's temporal. It is not eternal. Everybody got that? This man right here, and let's just put that right here. This is a man, and this is a man. We're going to talk about which man this is in a minute. He says, our light affliction is but for a moment. That's this life, because it's temporal, Keith. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Not seen. The things that are invisible, that are eternal, are not seen. Not seen by what? By this man right here. You cannot see those things invisible of God except what? You're in faith. So in other words, you have to be an eternal being. You have to be in the mind and the consciousness of the eternal to see the things of God by faith. Because that's where God dwells. He is that faith. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. So if we're trying to see God according to the flesh, what are you going to see? You're not going to see the thing that is eternal, are you? You're going to see the thing that is temporal. Hold on. We're going to get there. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. And I know what some of your thoughts are saying. You're saying, whoa, hold on. John saw some things. Peter saw some things. Oh, yes, they did. But in what body? In what mind? In what consciousness? Which man saw that? Was it Saul? Or was it Paul? Which man are we talking about? This man that is writing this book right here, this epistle, speaking to the we, he is talking to all of those within himself, is he not, Keith? And he's only doing this, he's only speaking these things coming from having an experience of faith in the Holy Ghost of that which is eternal. He's also speaking from experience because he once upon a time walked according to the flesh. In fact, if you go read his memoirs, if you will, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, full of zeal. He was high ranking in the walk of religion, born among the Jews of the tribe of Benjamin, I believe. And he had a pedigree according to the flesh that made him great in that earth. He was so great in the earth that when it came time to gather up those who were preaching this new religion, this new way, which I talked about Wednesday night in the Bible study, those that were of the way were those that had heard the gospel of the apostles, mainly Peter, John, and those others, that had been filled with the Holy Ghost and were now preaching this Christ, this Jesus, whom even after his death and resurrection, the Pharisees were saying, preach no more in this name. And they bound them, persecuted them, did all kinds of acts of persecution against those that preached the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what they preached, guys. Their message, as I said Wednesday night, was the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That was everything they preached, because everything they preached was concerning Jesus Christ. Yet there were still, in effect, these Pharisees that persecuted those that were of the way of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? So if you were part of that way, there were those that were in persecution against you. Paul, or Saul, was of that sect and even grabbed letters, Keith, to go to Damascus and gather them up. The scripture in Acts says that he was breathing out threatenings, persecution, great persecution upon the church. So what I'm just simply saying, that Saul is an example right now. He knew this way. He knew this way. He knew what it was to walk in the flesh. And so when you talk about sight, according to sight, we walk not by sight. This is simply saying you're walking in the conscience of a man who is what? He's flesh and he's dead, right? But he's blind to the things of the eternal. Does that make sense? So he is blind to eternal. Have you guys ever considered what darkness is? Rick was talking to us about this the other day, and man, I meditated upon those things, and I was like, my God, everything I've ever seen of darkness, you know what it was, Keith? It was separation from God. Because when you're in darkness, bro, you cannot what? You cannot see. You're not in the mind of God. You're not in the consciousness of God. You're not in the awareness of that earnest of the Spirit that Paul talked about. You say, how are we saved? We're saved by faith, which comes by grace, because it's only when God imparts himself unto you that you have any hope of salvation. Because if you're a man that's walking by sight, then everything you see is according to what? According to the flesh. So what is God to you? It's flesh. So in other words, when I walked in the mind of this consciousness, because you could call this a lot of things. What are some of the things you could call this? Carnal, okay? Let's put a few of these things on the board. You could call it carnal. What else? Antichrist. Definitely, for sure, Antichrist, right? You could call it the old man. Could you call it religion? So wait a minute. This man right here has religion. He has God? Oh, yeah. He's got religion. Why do I say he's got God?
Because he has the word of God.
There you go. He has the word. So wait a minute. This man right here builds his foundation on the word of God? Ooh, think about that for a second. What did Jesus say to Peter? I'm going to build my church upon this rock. And the what? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Did we build our foundations upon this word? The word of God? I can speak for myself. I can tell you I did from the time I was 5 years old. From the time I heard the word of God preached. From that moment on, I was God bound, man. I was in the way of trying to find God, Keith. You were too, weren't you? Have you not spent your entire life pursuing after God? Not even knowing it was God pursuing us. And thank God he found us. Because when Saul was pursuing after them of the way, guess who came after him? God came after him and revealed himself and appeared to him. And guess what Saul seen for the first time? He saw God. What does that mean? He had not seen God before? Not in that body, not in that time, not in that life. He had not seen God because in death there's no remembrance. So any remembrance you have of having seen God, even in the beginning, you've long forgotten. But because you have a word and you cannot see the thing which is unseen because you're not yet in faith. You're not yet in faith. Then what do? You take every word of God that you have and what do you try to do with it? Do you not try to form God? What did Israel do? What's that, D?
Make it up to your own understanding.
Okay, make it up to your own understanding, D said. And that's true. You try to make it relatable, don't you? What did Israel do? When Israel was in the wilderness and they couldn't see God, Moses was up in the mountain, man, over 40 days long. And what happened, Keith? They began to get very antsy, didn't they? Why? Because they couldn't see. They couldn't touch. They couldn't see Moses. They couldn't see God. Moses was their only representation of God. God in that earth, Moses was it. Does that sound crazy or what? Because I'm just going to be honest with you. Moses was the face of God to them. He was. In fact, one time he came down from that mountain and his face shone so greatly, they had to put a veil over him. They had to put a veil over his face. What was that veil? Are we not talking about this flesh right here? If you guys could really see when Dan's up here preaching to you who it actually is preaching to you, what would it do to you? Would it scare you or would it make you rejoice? Because I remember when Dan used to preach up here how I perceived him in the beginning. I perceived him as a man, Keith. A brother in this flesh, a person I knew of this life, until God opened my eyes and let me see the eternal. And then I saw it after the spirit of Daniel the prophet. And my eyes were open and I realized, wait a minute, it's not just a man talking to me. There's a spirit at work here and it's a good one too. And then as that progressed, as my faith was enlarged and increased, guess how I began to see him? He was no longer just a prophet. It was the angel of the Lord. As my faith was increased even more, how did I perceive him? As the Lord. Imagine that. But you can't see these. You can't see these things I'm talking about when you're in this mind, when your eyes are of this sight. You're blind to the things of the eternal. You can't see those things which are of faith. So in your desperation, in your fear, in your lust to see God, what do? That spirit in you takes that word of God and begins to form its own image of what you think God is. Or let me say it a different way, of what you think God should be. And when Moses was gone, they prodded Aaron to do what? Make us a god, Aaron. Make us a god. And what did they do? Did they form the golden image? When Nebuchadnezzar desired to be worshipped like God, what did he do? Did he not make an image? Was it the three Hebrew children that said, you can pipe that song all day long. We know who God is. We will not bow to this image of yours. And he said, turn up the heat, turn up the furnace. If they don't worship this image at the sound of the song when it goes forth, the whole land bowed. But those three Hebrew children did not bow. Why? Because they were not walking by sight. They were walking by faith. They knew God was not an image of this flesh. They knew that. And they got cast into the furnace. And guess what even the king himself seen in that furnace? His eyes were open for a moment. And guess what he saw? One that appeared like unto the Son of God, walking around with those three Hebrew children in the fire, loosed and free of the flame. That's awesome. But Israel, they made themselves images. They made themselves idols. And if you go back and you look at Israel, that was their sin. That was their sin constantly, because they were afraid to let faith work, because they could not hear and believe what the prophets were saying. Moses himself, being a great prophet of God, they could not hear the word of the Lord from heaven. Their eyes being closed, their ears being stopped, their heart being waxed. They cut themselves off from God. You say, no, it was God that cut them off. No, 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 no. Go read your Bible. Isaiah said, it's your sin that separated you from me. You did this, Israel. You chose to close your eyes. And if you go and look in the Gospels when Jesus quoted Isaiah, it says very plainly, they have closed their eyes. They have closed their ears. They hardened their heart. It was not God that separated himself from you. It was you in your sin that separated yourselves from your Creator. But the good news is, Jesus came into death to reveal himself, to remind you of who you really are. And that's why he appeared to those 12. Because once he began to appear to them, what was God doing for them? Was he not going to open up their eyes? Was he not going to unstop their ears? Why do you think he had to do that for them? I'll tell you why. They were of this right here. They were of Israel. They were Jews. They had been taught all their lives how to walk and follow after God according to the sight. That's why you have, even to this day, churches and religion that will teach you the Ten Commandments. And you'll walk according to the flesh by those commandments. For example, thou shalt not kill. Most of us would still think that that's talking about not running out here and strangling somebody. But is that what the traditions and precepts of men have taught you is the commandment of the Lord? Or is that what the faith of mind of God has taught you concerning that commandment? What does that commandment really mean is what I'm asking you. And if you looked at it according to the consciousness of God, would it mean something different than what man has taught you? It'd be no different than adultery. Someone says, well, you're married, so don't go out and... But in the mind of God, when God begins to talk to you about that, it's an entirely different thing. So which one are you walking by? You walking according... Now, do I have to say it? If you're married, stay married. Don't go out and do stupid stuff like that. I'm really not even trying to deal with that right now. I'm trying to find out, where is your thought out? What are you walking according to? What word of God are you walking by? Because if you've got the word of God, Megan, but this body of death, this mind, this consciousness of the man of sin has done all the interpretation and put all the precepts together, and it's formed a very specific religion in you, you could be walking an antichrist and not even know it. You could be worshiping something you've called God, and your angel's like, that ain't God. I know God. Your angel's like, I'm in the presence of the Lord. I'm in the body of Christ. But because you're stuck in this consciousness, you're not even aware of your angel. You're not aware. You can't hear him. So when he's speaking to you and telling you, depart from sin and iniquity, depart from idolatry, depart from adultery, adultery being anything that is without the body. Did you hear what I said? Go read it. Paul said, anything that is without the body, that is sin. You want to know what sin is? It's without the body. Do I have to read it to you? Do we have to find it, show it to you guys? Corinthians what, Megan? 6? Let's find it real quick. Get ready, Tony. Good, I get a water break. 6:18, Tony. 1 Corinthians. So let me write something up here. This would be in the body. This would be out of the body. What I'll do is read this real quick. Flee fornication. Now again, precepts of men have taught you what fornication is, right? And in your mind, you might think that fornication is just dealing with things that are in aspects of this life. But this existed before this life. Before you even got here, Keith, this was the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Every sin that a man doeth, which man? This man right here. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. Now we have to talk about which body are we talking about? Which body are we referencing? Are we not talking about the body of the Lord? The body of Jesus Christ? Is that the body we're talking about? Do you believe there's sin in the body of Jesus Christ? There is not. There is no sin in this body right here, Keith. When you partake of this body right here, when you're in this body, you are no longer in sin. He that is born of God cannot sin. That's why he's in the body. Now is it important for you to understand why when Jesus came and he baptized them disciples and he spoke unto them the words of heaven and eternal life and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, that produced Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost when Peter stood up with the 11 and for the first time he saw something he had not seen before. What did he see? He'd seen what it means to be part of this body. He was now in this body. Tongues of fire from heaven. He saw his origin. He saw his beginning. He saw his resurrection. He understood now the death, burial, and resurrection. Why Jesus said everything he said. Now every understanding, every perception, every interpretation he had was now consumed by the fire of those tongues, and God was giving him a right understanding. And now his entire perception was being changed, and the same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead was in him, raising him up. And that's why he could say, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor let thy Holy One see corruption. Because he was now a partaker of faith in Jesus Christ. In other words, when he saw faith, he saw the Holy One. Did he see the Anointed One? And because he was partaker of the faith of the Holy One, was he not now the Holy One? Is that what it was doing for him, Keith? It was making him partaker of the Holy One? So in other words, he was partaking of the mind of Jesus Christ. His mind was being changed. Do you need your mind changed? What do you think? Because I'm going to tell you, God takes me back and lets me see some of this here, right here. I'll give you an example. When we were at Jeff's memorial over in the other church, man, I'm sitting there and I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at all the, you know, just everything. And what happened to me is I went back into a thought of a very specific desire that I was raised in, of what I thought a preacher was. And I began to think upon all of the desires and all of the intents of trying to be godlike in this life. Man, I mean, it was a rush. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, remember from whence thou art fallen. And I begin to remember, my God, the thoughts that I took to formulate what I thought God should be. And I did everything within my power, Keith, to bring that to pass even in this life. But you know what it ended up being? It was a Christ. It was an Antichrist. Because I walked according to the flesh. I walked according to sight. That's why when you're operating as a gift operator, everything's by sight. Everything. God is this flesh. God is this flesh. So if I'm in that mindset, wouldn't it be the will of God for me to try to save this flesh, Keith? Wouldn't it be? Wouldn't I have a great desire to save your flesh? Because I don't want Keith Hickey to be lost. But partake of faith and then tell me what God's after. God's after a soul in this body right here. Because let's be honest with you. We're going to have a memorial here tonight for a man that is gone in this physical life. He's gone in this physical life. He is no more. But ask Rick, ask me, ask some others, is he gone? Go ahead, ask me. No. You know why he's not gone? Because I remember him. And I remember him beyond this life, Keith. You know how I remember him? I remember him in faith. In the consciousness of Christ. In his very beginning, in the innocence of the Lord and the love of God, there was great. So if I judged it according to the flesh, what would I do? Is it possible you could spend your life judging your own friends, your own brothers, your own people according to their weakness in their flesh and never know God? That's why I told, about a couple years ago, I made a statement. There's a couple people that come to me afterwards. Vicki Reeves told me, said, my God, it never dawned on me that I would have to get past you, Gary. So you could talk to my angel? What do you think? Could you judge me? Could I judge you according to the flesh? According to this flesh? And never find God in that conversation? Would that benefit you? What if you never came and talked to us as elders of God because of our flesh? You say, well, I actually had someone say, I don't feel like I can talk to you. Have you tried? No. What is it according to my flesh that prohibits you from pursuing God? You say you calling yourself God? Not in this flesh, I'm not. But when I get in this, oh yeah, We are with him. We are one with him in this body, in this person of Jesus Christ. And guess what that means? Sword in hand, standing at the door of heaven. I can let you in, or I can keep you out. What would be the difference in me saying what Jesus said to his disciples? You have power to forgive sin. You have power to remit sin. Those sins you remit are remitted. Those sins you hold, they are not. Could I hold you in your sin? As the apostle of Jesus Christ? Or is this too much? You guys, does this scare you? Because when you walk in the mind and consciousness of Jesus Christ, could he forgive sin? I'm talking about the angel of the Lord. He can forgive your sin. He can make intercession. But when you're walking according to this right here, what do you look to? Do you look to men? Do you look to those that have a word? That's why you've got countless millions of people that will follow men right here according to sight, that preach a gospel of sow your seed, sow your dollar bill to me, and I'll pray for you that God makes you rich as well. Funny, it's only those preachers that end up getting rich. We don't preach that gospel. Oh, you should tithe and give your offerings, absolutely. But that ain't getting you to heaven. You know what's going to get you to heaven? Getting baptized. We got a couple of people getting baptized in water. You know what the significance of that is, right? We've brought down a heavenly gospel all the way to this life itself. Sure, it's in a shadow. Sure, it's a metaphor. Sure, it's a type and example. But you know what it really, truly leads to? You know what the point of it all is? Every time we preach to you, we are baptizing you with the water of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, by that word, now are you clean. So if the apostle of Jesus Christ waters you, he baptizes you, even while in a body of death. Paul said it himself. If you go down and read further in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, he said, we ourselves deal with death, but for your sake, it is the life of God. Is that why I can reap your carnal? Is that why I can reap your weakness and endure that affliction? Because of the opportunity it presents? If I sow the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do I look for? What do I look for? And I get it. I'm really, this is where I'm preaching, guys. I'm preaching to those that are in me. Because if I was to make it plain, how long have I been up here? If I was to make it plain, would you believe me if I told you that there are those in me that have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the angel, the gospel of the apostle, and have been regenerated in me? But would you also believe that there are those who have not? In other words, there's still work to do. You mean there's still thoughts in me, Megan, that have not believed my gospel? Oh, yeah. But that's okay. We're going to get them. Might take a little time to preach the gospel to the whole world, Keith. To every creature. But would that be why we need to preach fervently? So the whole world hears? The whole world hears? Because upon that hearing, what are they brought to? Are they brought to choice? Are they brought to a remembrance? Does the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, can it bring a regeneration of thought and consciousness and bring you to a decision? In or out? In or out? You want to be in? You want to be out? What's your choice? What's your decision? Moses drew a line in the sand and said, whose side you on? You on the Lord's side? And he included himself in the Lord's side. You on the Lord's side? You over here? Or you want to go over here with Korah? You ever imagined Korah? I have. Have you ever seen the opposite of his countenance? The rebellion? Have you ever seen it? The spirit that worked in him? Woo, man. It was obstinate against the Lord. It was obstinate against Moses, Keith. And in a moment, ground opens up, boom, they're gone. Does that mean Korah is lost forever? What do you think? You guys haven't even thought about that, have you? I say in me, Korah's not lost forever. What if at another time I can visit him and restore him as my brother? What do you think? Would I have to walk by sight to do that, or would I have to walk by faith to do that? If I walk by sight, I've seen him perish. And according to sight, he is no more. Does that make sense? But if you walk by faith, he's a brother. And at the appointed time, it'd be the will of God to get him, would it not? Man. All right, let me wrap this up. This man right here, is this not your Revelation 13 beast out of the sea? Does he not have a great multitude with him? Does he not? This man right here, is he not the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of all? Does he not have the host of heaven? Let me ask you guys a question. When Paul talked about his groaning, his yearnings to depart from this body and forever be in the presence of the Lord, was he not simply saying, I'm excited about going home? The thought of being in the body of the Lord forever. Here's the catch, though. He said, for your sakes. For your sakes. Who's the we there? Who's the you? Who's the your? Because he said we, so he's got a we here. Who's the we here? All those of faith that are of his body, right? Of his new body. Who's the we over here? Would that not be the part of him that remains without? Are those the ones that need that gospel of Jesus Christ? Is that why he said, for your sakes, I abide, I stay? For your sakes, I stay in this body of death. But here's the difference between Paul and most. Paul was in this body, Keith. He was of that earthly tabernacle, but his conscience and his mind was not. It was of the eternal. So let me ask you guys a question. I promise I'm done. Can you walk in a body of death but be in the mind of Jesus Christ? What would it be then to have a body of death and know? Did he not say we are confident always? Because we know from whence we are. We know from where we are. We know our origin. We know that in our mind, in our spirit, in our hearts, when that angel left his first love, what happened to his heart? Did his heart fall away from God? All this apostle's telling you is, my heart belongs now unto the Lord. I have remembered from whence I came. I remember from where I fell. I remember now who I truly am. And everything I formed in religion, everything I became as Antichrist, everything I've done in the name of God that was not God, I have put away from me. I have denied it all. Because see, you're going to do one or the other. If you're without and you're in this consciousness, you've denied God. If you're in this life, if you're in the eternal, you've denied this. Meaning, you know, though I walk in a body of death, I am of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I'm of the Holy Ghost. I'm of the mind and consciousness of Christ. And I am in this body of death with purpose and intent, because there's still a part of me that in the will of God, I desire to get. I desire to see brought into the body of Christ. Reconciled, Keith. The world reconciled unto himself. Would that not be you, bro? Reconciling those that are still without unto yourself and making them partakers of the same Holy Ghost? So we gladly, you hear what I'm saying, we gladly go to death. We gladly deal with this death. Because once you know you're of this, you're in the body, it's no thing. Death is no thing. There is no sting of death. You walk in the mind and consciousness of Christ and you do the will of God. You become the very will of God to this right here. And even in a body of death, you preach that gospel of that heavenly plane. That at any time, any of them be quickened and believe your word and you baptize them in where you can teach them in the ways of God. Because I'm going to tell you, when you get them, you might have to open their eyes. You might have to unstop those deaf ears. You might have to heal them of being lame. They don't know how to walk in the way of God. They don't know. That's why you're there. God bless you.